You know, sometimes it's very difficult to just perform on demand. Like when someone comes up to a comedian and says, "Say something funny." Sometimes the person can rise to the occasion. The philosophy professor Maurice Raphael Cohen, who is an Eastern European Jew with a very heavy Yiddish accent, was a brilliant and a little bit sharp and caustic professor at City College of New York, was once approached after class by one of his students who, like a lot of undergraduates, wasn't as respectful as he should be of the professor. And he said, "Okay, Professor Cohen, prove to me that I exist." And Cohen looked at him for a second and said, "Who's asking?" So sometimes you can do it. And I'm afraid to say that I was one of the people who asked someone to do it, but they rose to the occasion. A couple of years ago, at our 100th anniversary, as you know, our scholar in residence was Elie Wiesel. And we had a wonderful weekend with this teacher and memoirist and sage. And at our last session, with 2,000 people, mostly teenagers here, I had a last question. And I said to him, "Okay, so you have a couple of thousand Jewish teenagers here. Say something they can carry with them and they can remember." And he did. Four words. He said, "Live higher, think deeper." Live higher and think deeper. And I've thought about that many times since we concluded that weekend, and I thought, this is a very good time to revisit those words right before Rosh Hashanah. Let me start historically, and then come to today. The Jews have a history in the Bible of thinking deeper, and I'll tell you what I mean. You know that the Jewish people invented the synagogue, but did you ever think about why? Why did we invent this idea of prayer places all over the world? Usually people will tell you it's because we were a wandering people, but it started before that. And if you want to know where it started, just remember the famous words from the book of Ruth. What does Ruth say? "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Now, why does she say that? Because Ruth lived in a world where wherever you went, you took the God of that place. When you were in Midian, you took the Midian God. When you went to Israel, "Where you go, I will go," you take the Israel God. And it made sense. Every place had their own God. But the Jewish people thought deeper. Is it really possible, they thought to themselves, that there's one God in Midian and another in Israel? And when a country gets conquered, its God goes away? Remember the story of Abraham, that Abraham at night thought the moon was God, and then the next day he said, "Oh no, the moon isn't God, it must be the sun." But then he thought deeper. There must be something bigger than the moon and the sun. And that realization allowed the Jewish people to go throughout the world and understand that one God, one unity, one world, was the truth, because they had thought a level deeper than the rest of the ancient world. And you can do that. You can drill a little bit deeper, a little bit into the rock-solid surface of common assumptions until you strike a vein of gold. And how do you live higher? Let's turn now from Abraham to Moses. Remember what happens when Joshua comes into the tent and says to Moses, Eldad and Medad, two Israelites, are acting as prophets. And that's your job, Moses. You're supposed to be the prophet. Everyone knows that. And what does Moses say? Does he react like every good monopoly by squeezing out the competition? Right? Does Moses become sort of the Walmart of prophecy? Does he turn to God and say, listen, I'm your prophet, get rid of them? No, he lives higher. He rises above the problem to see it from a higher view than his own ego. Instead of saying, this is about me, he says to Joshua, I wish all of God's children were prophets. Because he knows that it will be better for the world, and he has risen above himself to live higher, to look down. It's like what Rabbi Aaron of Apt said. He said, I don't wish to be Moses. Because God already has a Moses, and it doesn't benefit the world to have another one. I gotta be who I am. It's seeing higher, the benefit of things beyond oneself. That's what we see this morning, by the way. Why does Moses sing a final song to the Israelite people? After all, he's not going to get to go into the land. He may as well say, look, good luck to you. But he knows that it's about more than himself. He lives higher than most of us live. He allows himself to be part of a cause that's greater than him. Now, what about us? What does it mean to live higher? First of all, this is the season of tshuva, of forgiveness, which means the season in which you learn to overlook things that hurt you, that other people do. You learn to rise above it. You learn to see things from the ego point of view. Rise above it. In the middle of rising above it, all of a sudden they're at a cell phone. This just proves what I wrote the other day on, I was writing about the Facebook and how you get sermons on, this is parentheses, and how you get sermons to continue, and I wrote the on the Huffington Post, and my opening line was, the half-life of a sermon is the half-life of a good meal, you know? It lasts like, and now I realize it's not even during the sermon does it work. But rising above it means not allowing small things to hook on to that hook inside you that irritates and gnaws at you and doesn't allow you to involve yourself with things that are more important and more lasting. It means living higher, a step above where you usually are. And that's difficult to do. Of course it's difficult to do, or we'd all do it all the time. But invariably, in the year ahead, in fact, in the hour ahead, people will say things or do things that will bother you, that will irritate you, that will push your buttons. Living higher doesn't mean to be like Moses. It just means letting go of things that you don't have to hold on to, which not only benefits you, but it's good for others as a model, and because everybody feels good when they've been let off the hook. It's just a nice feeling to say to somebody, it's okay, don't worry about it, and mean it. And thinking deeper, tshuva is about thinking deeper. It's about going over your behavior again and again and again, thinking about it, analyzing it, understanding it. Why did you do what you did? What was it like to be the recipient, the other person in that transaction? How did it feel? But that requires work. It's not easy to do. You have to think deeper. You have to imagine, why did the other person react that way? An exercise, by the way, that most of the time we don't do. Not only that, but if you think deeper, you can't react right away. And if I have learned anything in my years in the rabbinate, and that remains an open question, but if I have learned anything, it is that people's reactions vary tremendously depending on the lead time you give them to react. That how you feel and how you react today is not necessarily how you will react tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Which means that if you give yourself time, if you think more deeply, your reaction will be different. Invariably, inevitably. And when it's something emotional and painful and difficult, you have to give yourself time and you have to allow yourself thought. And that's why you shouldn't put the address in when you write the email. Write it, and remember, you can always send it. You can always send it. But first, go back over it. Think more deeply. Understand why you wrote what you wrote, and then decide. Emerson wrote in his journal, "I love all men who dive, who go deeper, who aren't satisfied with their first reaction, or their second, or their third." I'll give you an example of someone who thinks more deeply and someone who thinks less deeply. Someone once came up to Abraham Joshua Heschel, who called his theology depth theology. The theology of being deep and of exploring deeply. And they said to him, "You know, Professor Heschel, I don't hold with this business of beating your chest and confessing." He says, "Look, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm really all right. I don't hurt people deliberately. I'm pretty kind. I'm okay." And Heschel said, "Well, that's the difference between you and me." He said, "Me? I'm always saying unkind things about people. I'm never helping as much as I could. I always overlook a hand that I could give to those close to me or those far away. I envy you that you're so good, but I'm not so good." That's the difference between someone who thinks deeply and someone who doesn't. Someone who understands the difference between our potential and our performance, between what we might be and who we've settled for. So, that's what tshuva is about. Remember that Moses comes down from the mountain. So there's something about living higher. There's something about the Torah that is exalted and is beyond us and is high. But this morning in our parsha, you know what we are told? Lo bashamayim hi. The Torah is not in the heavens. It's in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, it's deep within you. It's not only about living higher, it's also about sinking deeper and thinking deeper. You shouldn't imagine that only that person can live a life of Torah, or only this person can. All of us can. And when Elie Wiesel sat on this bima and looked out at those thousands of teenagers, he didn't say, "Some of you can live higher and think deeper." He said it to all of them. Everyone. And that's a pretty good charge for the new year. To live a little bit higher. To think a little bit deeper. To understand that if we stay at the same level, we are betraying our mission to become ourselves. Reb Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev, one of the great Hasidic masters, one year stood in front of his congregation on Yom Kippur. And he looked up at the heavens and he said, you know, dear God, each year I come before you and say, next year I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do the same things I did the year before. And then I end up back here repenting. And here I am again saying, next year I'm not going to do these things. But I want you to know, God, this year I really mean it. And I would like to interpret that little story for you. I really am going to try to live higher. I'm really not going to waste this season when I have the opportunity to dig down deep inside myself and understand who I am and why I am. And then to pull whatever resources, understanding, beauty, kindness I can from that exploration of depth to allow it to elevate me in the world so that I will overlook some things that otherwise would have sidetracked me, so that I will reach out when otherwise I would have stayed closed, so that I will live higher and think deeper a little bit more in this new year. Ketiva v'chatima tova. May we be written and sealed in the book of goodness, the book of blessing, the book of height, the book of depth, the book of life. Shabbat shalom.